You can open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21. Proverbs 21 is where we're going to be going tonight. Give you a little bit more of an overview of what we're doing in just a moment. But to start us off, I was thinking about a Christmas that happened. I don't remember if I was 10 or 11 or 12, but I was somewhere in that range, 10, 12, somewhere in there. And I was given by my parents a little blue bank. And this little blue bank was in the shape of a safe. You ever seen these little metal banks that you can, they have like the really cheap combination lock on the front? And it took me about 25 minutes to successfully open it the first time because I had never used a combination lock before. And then it took me about 25 seconds to successfully forget the combination. And so I realized over the next couple of months as I was stuffing money into this bank that I did not have the combination for, that it was not a very safe safe. I could just kind of twist it a little bit, and if I twisted it enough, eventually it would sort of pop open. And I realized that this was not a good place to be keeping my money, and so I thought to myself, I want a bank account. I had heard about these. I didn't know exactly what they were, but I knew you got a very fancy little book with them. Remember the bank books? I wanted one. And I didn't know exactly how to get one, so my mom took me to the bank, and I said to the teller, I want a bank account. And they said, that's great. I'm thrilled that you want a bank account. Back in those long ago days, you needed to have a $100 minimum to not get charged for your bank account. So the bank teller said, do you have $100? And I said, no. And they said, then you cannot have a bank account. And I said, I'll be back. And I went home, and I put my bank next to, like in this cupboard that I had in my room, next to my bed. I put my bank there, and I said, I'm going to earn $100. And so for the next couple of months, it was like the beginning of summer at this point, and for the rest of the summer, every day I was trying to earn $100. Now, as a 10 or 11 or 12-year-old kid, there is virtually nothing you can do in one shot to earn $100. This is not a thing. So I did anything I could to earn like $5. My mom wanted the front walkway weeded. I earned like $3 or whatever. My grandparents wanted their yard mowed, so I mowed their yard. I noticed one day my neighbor was mowing his lawn. He did not look happy about it. So in the middle of him mowing his lawn, I walked over. I said, hey, I will mow your lawn if you give me $10. He said, I would love to give you $10 to mow my lawn. I said, how often will you give me $10 to mow your lawn? He said, I will give you $10 to mow my lawn every other week. I said, done. And I mowed his lawn for $10 every other week till I got my $100 and then with all the other stuff. And I would have had to fold the money up because the little slot at the top of the bank was only the size of a quarter, and I was trying to get bills in there, so I had to fold it up and stuff it in. And I think almost every single day, I would open the bank, whether I had earned any money that day or not, I would open the bank, and I would go and I would dump everything out, and I would count it all up to see how I was doing, you know. And so like day one, I had like $2. And then I put it back in neatly, and I closed the bank. And the next day, I open it up, and I have $2. And then the next day, I open it up, still $2. This is where I need a plan. So then the first time I get the $10, I put the $10 in there. At the end of the day, I have $12. Then I do the weeding thing, and now I have $15, and on it goes. And eventually, I got $100. Actually, I'll be honest. I got to $98, and the summer was ending. And the season where I could mow lawns and stuff was ending. And my mom gave me the last $2. Aw. And she drove me to the bank, and I, with my blue bank, so I walked into the bank with my blue bank, and I said, I have $100 now. I want a bank account. And all of that to say, every day of that summer, I could have gone out and bought candy, and I didn't. Every day of that summer, I could have bought new toys, and I didn't. I could have bought books, and I didn't. I could have bought all sorts of stuff, and I didn't. Every day of that summer, I could have relaxed and watched TV, and a lot of them I did, but many of them I didn't. Because I had made a decision that what I was going to do today, and what I was going to do tomorrow, and what I was going to do the next day, were all going to get organized together into accomplishing a goal that I had set for myself. I was going to get a bank account. And a lot of what we're talking about over these couple of weeks is how to make sure that whatever you do today, and whatever you do tomorrow, and whatever you do next week are all organized and intentional and getting you in a single focused direction. How to take aim with your life. So tonight we're going to be talking about the idea of setting goals. But before we do that, I want to pause on something that I think is very important. And that is that this past Monday was a very important day. It was Martin Luther King Day. Did anybody notice that? It's Martin Luther King Day. Martin Luther King Jr. is one of the most influential men in our nation's history. And I wanted to just take a moment to share with you some of his words. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about tonight. I just want you to hear the words, some of the words of one of the greatest men in our nation's history. So if you would take a moment, guys, you may need to adjust the volume on this because it's kind of tough to hear, but if you would take a moment and listen to this, these are the words of Martin Luther King Jr.
That is a little tree planted on a little hill, and on that tree hangs the most influential character that ever came in this world. Never feel that that tree is a meaningless drama that took place on the stages of history. Oh no, it is a telescope through which we look out into the long vista of eternity. See the love of God breaking forth into time. It is an eternal reminder to a power-drunk generation that love is on the way. It is an eternal reminder to a generation depending on nuclear and atomic energy, a generation depending on physical violence, that love is the only creative, redemptive, transforming power in the universe. So this morning, as I look into your eyes, and into the eyes of all my brothers in Alabama and all over America and over the world, I say to you, I love you. I would rather die than hate you. And I'm foolish enough to believe that through the power of this love somewhere, men of the most recalcitrant bent can be transformed. Then we will be in God's kingdom. We will be able to matriculate into the University of Eternal Life because we had the power to love our enemies, to bless those persons that cursed us, to even decide to be good for those persons who hated us. We even prayed for those persons who despitefully used us. Oh God, help us in our lives and in all of our attitudes to work out this controlling force of love and this controlling power that can solve every problem that we confront in all areas. Let us join together in a great fellowship of love and bow down to the feet of Jesus. Give us this strong determination. In the name and spirit of this Christ, we pray.
Amen. I hope that you caught a little bit of that. I know that it's tough to hear on some of those older recordings. One of the things I thought about doing tonight, and I've wrestled quite a bit with how to honor Dr. King's work and legacy in a moment at church. And I'll be honest, I don't think there is an appropriate way for me to do that. His legacy and work extend beyond anything I could express in just a few moments. So what I want to challenge you to do is to take the time to get to know history. Take the time to invest in knowing what has happened in the past. The past is an important teacher for us. There are great men in the past who have walked very complicated roads, who have done things because of their Christian faith that are profound and inspiring. And if you don't know those things, you are missing out. For example, if you have not heard, how many of you are aware that Dr. Martin Luther King gave a speech in which the key phrase was, "I have a dream"? I'm not going to do it, but I thought about saying, now keep your hand up if you've listened to the whole thing from end to end. But most of your hands would go down. If you've never heard that speech, like, there are 5,000 YouTube videos of it. Before this week is out, go listen to his I Have a Dream speech. It's amazing. It is everything from great thinking to great speaking. It is incredible. But I want to challenge you, search through history, find great leaders who are in different circumstances than you, and ask yourself, what can you learn from them? There is so much we can learn from men like Dr. King, who live out the principles that Jesus taught on a level many of us may never even be invited to do. And so, with that said, I challenge you, get to know history, get to know the life and work of Martin Luther King. There are like bazillions of books about him. There are thousands of documentaries about him. Just on YouTube, I was looking at it throughout today again. I found like 9 bios of Dr. King that were under 10 minutes. So we literally have no excuse to not know this man's life. Literally like 10 minutes or less. And so, you know, one of my life goals, the way that I have worked this into my life, as an example, every year I have a set of reading goals that I try to fulfill. One of them is that every single year I read one book at least about this time period, the 50s and 60s, and civil rights in particular. And so whether that's about Dr. King or Malcolm X or the movement in general or whatever, because I want to learn from these gentlemen. So that said, that is my random extra thought for you that I'm giving you, because this is an incredibly important moment for us to remember. So remember, now that said, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. We're in the middle of a series, a 4-week series called Take Aim. For those of you who weren't here last week, we're in week number 2 of a 4-week series called Take Aim. The idea, kind of what I just summarized a few moments ago before I told that story about the bank, is that we want to take our lives and make sure that we have intentionally pointed them in a specific direction, and then we want to be taking intentional steps along the way to get ourselves there. We want to be intentional about our lives. Our lives are like the one arrow you get to shoot. If you could only shoot one arrow, you'd want to make sure you did it right if you were in a contest. Your life is one arrow you get to shoot. You want to shoot it in the right direction. You want to know where you want it to go, and you want to know how to get there. So that's a lot of what we're talking about. Last week, we talked a little bit about kind of that general idea. This week, we're going to be talking about the specific idea of setting goals. And you might ask yourself, why are we talking about that? It comes from this book, verse in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. Chapter 21, verse 5. Proverbs 21, verse 5 says this. It says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. You know, there are some verses in the Bible that you could pause on. Like, a lot of times in our time, if you've been here on Wednesday nights on a regular basis, sometimes we'll talk about like a whole chapter. Sometimes I'll talk our way through 3 or 4 chapters of the Bible in one night. Tonight, we're 2 verses, and this is one of them. And we could spend like a month on this one verse, because this one verse has the potential to completely change our lives. And most of us are not doing what it says. Most of us are not living planned out lives. Forget well planned out lives. We're not planning at all. We're just kind of doing what seems right in the day. And this verse very powerfully challenges us to live lives that are marked by planning. So let's talk for a moment about planning. I just want to talk about the idea, what is planning all about? What do I mean by planning? Planning, like I said, really has to do with this idea of setting a goal or an aim for your life. So this starts off with, a lot of times, I think maybe we have too narrow of an idea of the direction life could go. We don't have big enough dreams. I don't think most people's problem is that their dreams are too big. I think that most people's problem is that their dreams are too small. Too small. And so a lot of times, the way we do this as a church staff, if we're trying to dream about something, we take a bunch of post-it notes and we call it a blue sky session. Because anything's allowed. We are not allowed to say, well, the church can't afford it. We are not allowed to say, well, we don't have the resources for it. We're not allowed to say, well, I'm just not sure we could accomplish that. None of that matters. When you're in a brainstorming moment, you take all the filters off, all the limitations off, and you just ask the big question, where do I want to go? What do I want to accomplish? And you just let yourself dream. For those of us, now, the first time I had ever done this was actually when I was on staff here. Before that, I was not much of a big dreamer. And so the first time I did this, we all had these post-it notes, and there were four or five of us in the room, and we were supposed to just put our ideas on the wall. And if you've been in any kind of big group meeting with me, you might have done this kind of approach together with me. But I remember there were four or five of us, and we had markers. We're supposed to put our ideas one by one up on the wall without talking to each other. And everybody else has got like all these great ideas going up on the wall. And I am staring at my first post-it note thinking, I got to think of something. Surely I can come up with like one creative idea in 25 minutes. Come on, just one. And I'll be honest, I don't know that I did. That first time, I found out in that moment that brainstorming, creative thinking is a skill. And like any skill, you kind of got to work at it a little bit. Some people are naturally inclined to have big and creative ideas. If that's you, that's awesome. This will be, you're like salivating right now. You know this is you if you're like, I cannot wait to get to the post-it notes. Are you giving us post-it notes right now? What wall are we sticking them on? This is going to be great. Let's do it, Pastor Joshua. It's fine. I got 65. I don't even know what your topic is, but I have 72 ideas right now. I'm ready to put them on the wall. Let's go. This is not me. This is not me. I am an implementation guy. Like, give me the idea. Once it's going, I just want to keep the ball going. I just want to keep the ball rolling, and that's great. That's good for me. But I've learned I have to be a creative guy. I have to practice this skill, and so I have, and I want to challenge you, when you're asking in any, whether you're asking the giant question, where do I want my life to go, or you're asking a smaller question like, where do I want my my prayer life to go, or how do I want to be more like Jesus? Whatever your question is, I want you to start off giving yourself the opportunity to have a blue sky session answering that question with yourself. You might take notes on a pad and just write all over the place. As a matter of fact, is my bag up here? I do this a lot of times when I'm preaching. Whenever I'm getting ready to preach, including for Wednesday nights, I don't know if you guys can see this, but I just start writing all over a piece of paper. Just if I think it's an important word, I write it big. If I think it's a not very important word, I write it little. I have no idea. Raise your hand if you can actually see what's on this piece of paper. All right, good. Then it was a great illustration. I'm glad I used it. You know, I just start writing over. I don't want the post-it notes thing because I'm afraid I'm going to lose the post-it notes. But so I write on a piece of paper. But whatever your method is, you just give yourself a chance to think giant. Think in as broad terms as you can. And then you start narrowing the field down from there. So if you were with us last week, we started doing this a little bit in our small groups. The giant question we asked last week, and if you weren't here last week, I want you to be thinking about this because in your small group, you're going to have to give some answers to these questions. But the giant question we asked was something to the effect of, what is one area of your relationship with God that you would like to improve? Now, when I think about like that question, I can think of like 65 answers to. There are lots and lots of areas of my spiritual life I would like to improve. So you start off, when you're trying to answer a question like that, you just list them all out. List them all out. And if there's 200, that's fine. If there's two, that's fine too. Just list them all out. And then once you've listed them all out, then you start narrowing down the field. What you don't do is say, man, that is 200 awesome ideas. I'm going to do all of them. That is not a plan. That is a shame factory, right? Like, you are guaranteeing failure if you try to work on all of them at once. So of your list of 200 great ideas, you say, you know what? They're all wonderful ideas, but I'm going to organize them like in some way. Like, so this is going to be the first one I work on. This is going to be the second one I work on. You're going to ask yourself, so how do I organize them? It really doesn't matter. Pick the easiest one first if you want. Pick the most important one first if you want. Doesn't matter, just pick one. So that you've narrowed your focus down a little bit. So you go from how in my spiritual life am I going to get better to maybe I'm going to focus on getting to know the Bible better, or maybe I'm going to focus on getting to know prayer better, or maybe I'm going to focus on inviting people to church, or whatever your specific area is. You've narrowed the focus down a little bit. And then, once you've narrowed the focus down, you set a real goal. I want to make sure you understand this. I want to be better is not a good goal. It's not a good goal because you will never know if you reached it. What does better mean? Right? It's super vague. Good goals aren't vague. So we're going to talk for a moment about what a good kind of goal is. The reason we're going to talk about this, it doesn't, please notice this verse, Proverbs 21:5, it doesn't say planning and hard work lead to prosperity. It says good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. There is bad planning out there. You can like plan hard and plan badly and still fail. So we want to talk about for a moment, when we're talking about, and I recognize, by the way, that I am jumping from this idea of prosperity to any area of your life. I don't think that this principle, good planning plus hard work equals, only results in prosperity. Anything good that you want to build into your life, whether it is being financially sound or spiritually sound or relationally healthy or whatever else it is in your life that you want to build into your life, if you want to build something into your life, this gives you the two basic building blocks of getting there. Good planning and hard work. Put those two together, and I guarantee you, you can get literally anywhere. So, what is a good plan? This is not directly from the Bible. I stole this from, I don't remember where I stole this from, but I heard this acronym one time that describes a good goal really well. And so, I want to share this with you if you've never heard this. We're going to take a couple minutes on this. Though I heard it called, good goals are smart goals. Smart goals. If you were going to write one thing down tonight, this would be the thing to write down or put down in your phone. The verse is in the Bible, so you have that. Otherwise, that would be the one thing. But so this is the one thing, smart goals. You want to succeed in accomplishing your goal, you need to set smart goals. SMART is an acronym. It stands for 5 different words. Here's those 5 words. This is what you want to write down. Number 1, good goals are specific goals. Specific goals. Here's what I mean. When someone says to me, Pastor Joshua, I want to grow closer to God. Or, Pastor Joshua, I want to be a better follower of Jesus. First, I say that's awesome because that is awesome. I'm thrilled about that. It's like my whole life's work to help you succeed in that. But then I want to say, how on earth do you know what you mean by that? Like, what are you actually talking about? Because that's really vague. What do we mean here? And so that's where the brainstorming comes in. Instead of saying something like that, then they start getting specific. Then, once we press in, the specificity comes in things like, you know what, I want to read my Bible more, or I want to pray more, or I want to invite more people to church with me, or, you know what, I want to be more consistent in serving in ministry, or whatever it is. But they go from this very vague, vague idea to something far more specific and manageable. If you think to yourself about the goal, I want to be more like Jesus, I mean, what specifically are you going to do tomorrow to make that happen? There's like a million things you could do tomorrow to make that happen, right? It doesn't actually help you focus your efforts. And so we bring it down to something a little bit more manageable. And then once we've got it down to something a little bit more manageable, the next letter here, the M in SMART, is measurable. Measurable. Let's say somebody had said, I want to read my Bible more. Okay, again, I want to ask, what does that mean? At the end of the day, how do you know if you've done it? I want to read my Bible more. What does more mean? More is a very vague word. Never in any goal you have should vague words be in your goals. Words like more, a lot, better, don't use those words. Instead, use measurable words. For example, I want to read my Bible 6 days a week for 10 minutes a day. Do you hear how that's different from I want to read my Bible more? I want to read my Bible more. What does that mean? I want to read my Bible 6 days this week, and I want to do it 10 minutes every day. At the end of the week, you will know whether you did it or not, won't you? Or, I want to start praying every day at 7:14. It's just a random time. I just picked it. But then you know that you either did or did not start praying every day at 7:14. Or you could say, you don't say, I mean, I just want to invite more people to church. Say, you know what? I want to invite 4 people every week to church. So that's more measurable. At the end of the week, you can say, yes, I did, or no, I did not. Always make your goals measurable. They're specific in their scope. They're measurable. And the A, and this is important as well, once you've got something that's specific and measurable, make sure it is actually attainable. Actually attainable. So, for example, I used the example last week that I went from trying to pray from like somewhere in the vicinity of 5 or 10 minutes a day to trying to pray every day for 2 hours. That was not an attainable goal. It did not work. Or if someone is saying, you know what, I've never spent time with the Bible in my entire life. I've never read my Bible. I'm going to get up and read my Bible. I want to read the entire Bible in a year. This is what people default to. I heard that this is a good thing from somebody. I don't know who told me, but somebody said I should read my Bible in a year, so I've never read my Bible in a year. By the way, I know that some of you succeeded doing this. And by some of you, I mean probably one. And so I'm not trying to disparage those of you who succeeded with this plan, but for the average person, including myself, going from not reading the Bible at all to I'm going to read the Bible in a year is planning to fail. Because it is a giant chunk of reading every day. And if you are going from your average length of reading is the length of a Facebook post to 5 pages of the Bible every day, that's a lot of reading. And 3 days in, you're going to be like, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm super overwhelmed. And then you're going to miss a day. And then the next day, you're going to be like, okay, now I have to catch up, and now I'm double overwhelmed. That is not an attainable goal for most people. What is an attainable goal? An attainable goal is something that is hard but not too hard. I am not encouraging you to be lazy with your goals. Your goals should stretch you or they are lousy goals. But they shouldn't stretch you so much you break or they are lousy goals. So if you are averaging never praying, you'll notice my example, which had some specificity to it in prayer, was I'm going to pray every day at 7:14. The idea was there's no end time there. So long as I start praying at 7:14, I got my goal in. It's good. Doesn't matter if it was 1 minute, 5 minutes, 20 minutes. With prayer in particular, I like start times more than like time lengths because, you know, like let's say that you and I wanted to develop a deeper relationship. If I decided I was going to develop a deeper relationship with you and the way I went about it was to say, you know what, I'm going to talk with you for 10 minutes a day. I got my timer here and go, let's talk. And then the timer goes off and I stop talking to you, we are not going to develop a very good relationship. I will develop a good relationship with my timer, but I will not develop a good relationship with you. Developing a relationship with Jesus is a lot the same. So a lot of times it's better to start say, I'm going to start praying at this time and then not worry about the other part of it. But specific and attainable. If you have not prayed ever in your life, like setting a couple times this week to pray might be a good goal for you. Attainable, whatever that is for you. Number 3, or number 4, here's the fourth word, relevant. If you have gotten to the point where you have a specific, measurable, attainable goal, sometimes what happens is that in manipulating the goal based on those words, sometimes we accidentally get off track of what we were originally trying to accomplish. So, for example, I actually had this happen to me at one point. I was trying to develop my prayer life, and in trying to make it specific, measurable, and attainable, I ended up saying, you know what, I'm going to spend 15 minutes in silence every day. Now, that could have been related to prayer, but in my case, it was not. It was a very different thing. Now, that's a fine goal, but I had wandered off the track of prayer. So it was a wonderful goal that was not actually relevant to my original plan. Does that make sense? We got to just kind of check it and say, am I still on track here? Okay, yes, I'm still on track. This is what I actually wanted to do. If not, you scrap it and start over again. If it is on track, then great. You just go on to the next one. Is it relevant? And then finally, time bound. This one is really important. A goal without an end date is just a wish. A goal without an end date is just a wish. I want to accomplish this specific set of tasks by this specific time. So I want to pray once today, or I want to pray every day this week, that would be 7 times, at 7:14, or I want to use the Bible app on my phone, and I want to get through an entire 21-day reading plan, and I'm going to give myself 30 days to do it. Or whatever, I don't care, but there's an end date by which you can assess, did I accomplish it or did I not accomplish it? Smart. Those kind of goals are almost always the kind of goals that will actually help you grow as a person. Specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time bound. Now, as I'm even describing all of this, I'm realizing that one of the things that happens when a goal gets specific is that we are opening ourselves up to the potential for failure, which for many of us makes us like feel shame before we even start. And so I want to address that just for a moment. When you set a goal, you are investing in yourself. And so if you are not successful in meeting your goal, even if you did a little bit, you will still have invested in yourself. A little bit of work on a goal is far better than no goal at all, because you will have still positively invested in you. And you get a brilliant opportunity to confront the fact that you have shame and don't need to. Because if you fail, Jesus still loves you and you're still welcome at the church. Those two things I can guarantee. If you like set the goal, it doesn't matter. Matter of fact, a lot of times, those are the moments you have the greatest opportunity for growth, because you can ask yourself, why didn't I succeed in the goal? And if you will have the courage to ask that one question, why didn't I succeed in my goal? You may set yourself up for a lifetime of successes built on that one failure. Called failing forward. It's a great principle. But I want to pause just because the second half of this verse is incredibly important. So good planning, that's what we just talked about. Hard work, we'll talk about a little bit more next week. But then the second half of this verse says, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. It is time for us to be done with hasty shortcuts. It is time for us to be done trying to take the easy route or the quick route to get where we want to go. If you want something for your life that you can get quickly, I want you to go back to the brainstorming stage, because God has far bigger things for you. If you can accomplish your life goals today, you need better life goals, because you are more significant than that. You are more important, you are more valuable, you are more life-changing than that for people around you. You have the capacity to be a life-changing human being. And so you need giant, giant life goals. And when you set goals for developing your own personal well-being in relating to God and those kinds of things, to develop the spiritual foundation that will empower you to be a life-changing person, you want to have big goals in those areas too. You want to be devoted to the Bible. You want to be praying all the time. You want to be the person who's inviting people to church. All of that. You want, like, grow all of that in your life because God wants to use you in so many areas, and that's a profoundly important foundation for you to have with that. We are so often, I want to read you this other verse. This is Proverbs 13:16. This is the other verse. It says, wise people think before they act. That's what we just talked about. We talked about how to think before you act. Fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. Fools don't think about what they're going to do before they do it, and then they brag about it. You think, well, who would do that? Everybody who starts off with, man, I got so lucky, that is often bragging about the fact that you didn't have a good plan. Right? We have all these sorts of phrases that are ways of saying, man, I am so awesome because things worked out for me despite the fact that I didn't have a plan. We have all sorts of ways of saying this. Let's not do that. The Bible, because here's the danger in that, right? You know what the word lucky means? It means it's probably not going to happen again. And yet we're going to learn to act that way despite the fact that we're not going to get the same results. The Bible's challenge is for us to say, to acknowledge what happened as foolishness. When we don't plan, we need to say, man, I did not make a plan. That was foolish of me, and I'm going to do different next time. And then let everybody cheer for that, because that's worth cheering for. Man, that was foolish. I did not make a very good plan. And when I did not make a very good plan, it doesn't really matter the results. What matters is that next time I'm going to make a good plan. And then I'm going to work that plan, and I'm going to have good results next time that are my intended good results, not sort of random happenstance good results. You have the power to get good results on a regular basis, not just once because you got lucky. Don't give in to that. We're going to be done with all sorts of, I love this phrase, hasty shortcuts. Don't try to get character quick. Don't try to get wealth quick. Don't try to get anything quick. Don't try to skip the rules. Don't try to get around the process. Don't try to kind of make an end run for something. Like, work your way through the slow and boring process of moving forward at a reasonable rate. That is what this verse is saying. It's saying plan and good planning and hard work